Liebe Fans, hier ist Mario Theissen. Ich wünsche euch viel Spaß mit F1 Weekly und natürlich mit der ganzen Formel 1 Saison.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula 1. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you are not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 377, September 17th, 2009. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly Podcast brought to you by Northern California Jim Russell Rotax Challenge and Marin Karting. Check them out, you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen, and of course we adore our Northern California Rotax Challenge. And a quick note, Ron Sutton's Winner's Circle Driver Development Program is now accepting Northern California Rotax driver resumes. And the cutoff deadline for resumes to be submitted for consideration is September 30th, 2009. So get those resumes in. On today's program, Renault says goodnight to Pat and Flavio. Lotus returns to Formula One. Attendance down 16% at Monza. And of course, Motorsports Mondial with the man himself, Mr. Nasser Hamid, and a special repeat interview with GP2 champion Nico Hülkenberg. Steven, welcome to the studio. How are you today?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. How about yourself?
I'm going into a deep depression.
Is that why you're wearing your black Renault hat today?
The black armband over the Duke of Dijon crest on my jacket. And, of course, completely
devastated that Flavio is no longer in control of Renault F1.
Correct. I'm completely devastated. What I thought would not be true is true. I won't even say Junior's name no longer in my life because he's despicable and not a friend of F1Weekly.com. And no, it's tragic to lose such talent. Flavio, going back to the Benetton days, not saying that he's Mr. Innocent, and especially Pat Simmons, the Rock of Gibraltar in terms of engineering. I mean, I'm speechless.
The foundation of the Renault Formula One team. Basically, you got to think that you know he helped engineer two cars that won the world championships for Fernando Alonso. So you know he's actually going to be. I think it's a loss to Formula One on a whole to lose those two talents. You know, maybe not the best idea if it was their idea or for them to go along with Nelsinho in his idea to help the team. But I think, as you mentioned before we started the show, that Flavio will rue the day that he put Nelson in that seat.
Absolutely. Renault came out and, you know, they basically don't believe what Flavio is saying. And all the questions that Pat would not answer to the FIA investigation team. Of course, Renault came out and said they will not dispute the recent allegations made by the FIA concerning the 2008 Singapore Grand Prix. It also wishes to state that its managing directors, Flavio Briatore, and its executive director of engineering, Pat Simmons, have left the team before attending the hearing before the FIA World Motorsports Council, which is next week on the 21st of December. So we're going to see what happens.
Is this Renault's way of throwing themselves on the mercy of the court?
Somewhat. I mean, obviously, the two culprits, the guilty party, who now obviously admit their guilt or and have no choice.
Or at least their culpability in the events.
Well, the evidence was just stacked sky high. And I guess I was right when I wrote that headline last week. Nelson Piquet will get the last laugh.
But well, not really the last laugh, because he'll never be employed in motorsports again unless he's managing his father's team. And I would imagine that Piquet Motorsports is going to have a hard time finding sponsorship next year for their GP2 team.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is unbelievable. And I'm still curious whether the legal proceedings against Piquet and his father over false allegations and attempted blackmail are still ongoing.
Well, the attempted blackmail, they could probably still run. The allegations may be a little bit harder to prove.
So now the big worry amongst moi is, will Renault be banned from Formula One? Will they take a fine like McLaren did for the Spygate thing? So I don't know. I'm hoping that Renault stays in, comes back fighting with a new driver lineup. Could be still Fernando Alonso. A lot of people think that he's going to Ferrari. I'm not so sure. Anyway, Nasser has just stepped into the studio out of the Camry limo. Nass, welcome, and how are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. Hello to everybody. I did see on the way here a Traction Avant crashed into the barrier on the AMCO on the highway.
Exactly.
That was not you.
No, that was Piquet Senior.
Yeah, I'm very concerned about you. Forget Fabio and Simmons. I just hope the Mrs. has not taken all the forks and knives from the kitchen.
She has.
She has, and yes. Is the junior requested to keep an eye on Daddy?
All safety procedures have been implemented.
Well, you know, I'm concerned about you. But if you need to talk to somebody, you can call me during business hours. We have put together a special personal toll-free number for you. 1-800-GO-ALONZO.
So I will be calling the number.
Yeah, if you need a helping hand, call me. I'll say good things about Fernando, Renault, Alpha Kitin, TGV, whatever it takes to get you going. But this is very, very bad for the sport, I tell you. And you know what I have to say? If you leave your prints at the scene of the crime, and when there are witnesses also involved, and you have blood on your Benetton sweater, and you refuse to answer key questions, Inspector Mathis would say, chances are awfully good against you. And you've seen all the evidence that was piled up, the telemetry and leaks that were made. And, you know, if Flavio and Simmons were seen getting away from the track in a white Bronco, maybe then they would have been innocent. But that was not the case on that starry, starry night in Singapore.
Maybe there should have been a driving glove involved.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm still shocked. I mean, you should have seen my face when I saw those headlines this morning. Flavio and Pat Simmons have left Renault. I mean, I almost dropped my coffee. It was devastating. I'm hoping Renault stays in, but we'll know what happens. I think the World Motorsports Council will take into account the fact that they have fired those two.
I think what Renault is doing is, see, it has not been said whether they were fired or they left on their own, but this is basically Renault's way of doing damage control. You know, they're going to say, hey, because, you know, now it's pretty obvious what happened there and who's responsible. Obviously, it was not the official Renault team or Renault company's, policy, but their name is being thrown around, so they're going to go there and plead for mercy. But I'll tell you the little bit I know about Carlos Ghosn as a business person. When Max Mosley goes on record saying that this is far worse than the Spygate, and the Spygate people had to pay $100 million, knowing the close relationship between Bernie and Max, I don't think they would like to throw out Renault from Formula One, which will not be good for anybody. But if they slap them with $100 million fine in this economy, in this global meltdown, I would be very, very surprised if Renault does not pull out.
Just fall up the tent and go home.
Yeah, because, you know, right now there are already reports that David Richards, a gentleman I, you know, respect very much, because now the big talk is who will replace these people, that he was already at Enstone, you know, job interview or filling out forms or whatever, and he has very good backing from Middle East. That's where the money's coming from for any project these days in motor racing. I will not be surprised if Clark Rogers is wearing a Force India cap and shalwar kameez next season.
Well, I certainly hope that doesn't happen, and but I agree with you. The possibility certainly is there, but there are fines levied if you pull out of Formula One now that they've signed the Concorde Agreement till 2012, I believe.
But I don't think the fine will be applicable if you sell the team to somebody else. If the
business stays,
if the franchise stays in operation and your drive-through window is still open for Chicken McNuggets, I don't think you will have to pay any penalties.
It's very
possible. Did McLaren actually pay any of that fine? Didn't they just pay like a very small portion of the fine?
Well, the reason they did that is they withheld the money that was owed to them from the TV rights.
Mm.
So it still hurts. They had to still come up with that money from somewhere. But Renault being a big corporation, you know, McLaren exists to go motor racing. Renault's business is not motor racing.
Yeah. And there's also other ramifications here. Briatore's co-owner with Bruni Ecclestone of the London Football Club, Queen's Park Rangers, and, of course, Renault's significant role in GP2 and other motor racing categories. I mean, the ripple effect could be pretty huge here.
Well, Briatore owns GP2 with Bruno Michel and all these people. But I got to tell you something. About 4 or 5 years ago, I'm not going to name the gentleman, but this gentleman has been involved in Formula One for over 30 years. Okay, that Formula One is his life. And he says to me, how come Briatore is a driver manager and he hires the same people? I said, you tell me. He says, well, he must have something on Renault. What it is, I don't know. He wouldn't tell me. He said he must have something on them that they have kept him through all these, you know, problems they've gone through. You know, he was involved in that Mecca Chrome when Renault first pulled out. So too much is going on there. Who knows what the real deal is.
And I think there's a lot of dirt here that we won't know about.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we're just on the tip of the iceberg. And on the other side of the coin, of course, is how could a driver actually accept and crash on purpose, where most drivers would just say, what? I'm here to try to win every day. And I think it's just unbelievable, and it just shows the character of this junior fella.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe that, you know, first you've got, you know, team principal and chief engineer bringing this thought to a driver, but for the driver to even consider it, even though Flavio is manager, even though he has the opportunity, he basically, the minute he accepts that deal, whether he brings it up himself or is offered to him, and he's signing his death warrant on his career. No matter whether or not he becomes successful again, at some point in time, someone's going to come to realize it, or it's going to be whispered in the back rooms. He basically wrote off his career that day in Singapore, because ultimately, somebody's going to know that he did it, or he brought it up, whatever happened, and that he's never, you know, why would you want a driver who's willing to give up himself? You know, sure, it's great for the team, but this isn't football or baseball, you know, or a team sport in the traditional sense. And, you know, giving yourself up in that way for the team is not the same as it is in another sport.
Nass, your final thoughts on Mr. Junior?
Well, you know, he has definitely pissed away his career at the sheer joy of seeing others in misery. And you ask, why would a driver do that? That part I can understand to some extent. You know, he was under pressure. He thought if he goes, you know, it's like when you're at work and your boss asks you to do something. You know,
put your life in danger?
No, these cars are very safe. That's a street race. It was not like he went in his Renault Megane and crashed at 100 miles per hour.
And he knew he wasn't going to go straight in. And
yeah, but it was still a very hard crash. And it really, you know, that's what I thought was such a hard crash. It wouldn't be set up. And then Frank Montani says, drivers don't like to give up a position, let alone a crash. So how wrong we all can be. But like you said about, you know, Flavio has been mired in controversy before. You know, I'll tell you, 1994, Senna's last home Grand Prix, Brazilian Grand Prix, he was leading. Schumacher took the lead during the pit stop. And then I read many years later that Benetton had made some illegal changes to the fuel rig, which resulted in the fire for Jos Verstappen later in the season. Then there was at one time during a test session with Benetton, Schumacher was the driver. The stewards or the technical people found traction control software on the car, which in those days was not allowed, and Briatore's explanation was, oh, it's not activated, you know, just some he forgot to take it out. So there has been controversy with him for quite a while. But Pat Simmons, a gentleman, he was educated at Cranfield Institute of Technology. He worked at Tolman, which became Benetton, which became Renault. This guy worked with Ayrton Senna, Michael Schumacher, and Fernando Alonso before any one of them even won a race. So this is very, very sad for motor racing.
It really is. Yeah, we won't see the likes of a man like that for a while, and I don't think he'll come back working for anybody else. I'm sure he'll be...
They're gone from Formula One.
Yes, they're fully retired.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Yeah, he might become technical director at Queen's Park Rangers if they need one.
I hope not.
Well, ultimately, if I'm the British Football League, I'm a little leery of having an individual of Briatore's character running one of my football clubs.
And he may not be allowed to. They have rules and regulations.
But there are all sorts of controversies in football also. But in the final analysis from me, Sabo Gribbs from Piquet Jr. have finally produced serious whining from Renault F1 team. I just hope they're not squeezed out of Formula One, especially for the sake of you, by FIA. And, you know, I read that this is a very interesting observation that some people are suggesting that people are going to be really pissed off would be Brazilian racing fans, because if he had not pulled out this stunt, and I believe this theory, if he had not done this, Massa would have been world champion.
Yeah, he
because
would have won
that race was his to win.
I agree.
And they created all this.
I absolutely agree.
Problem.
I absolutely agree. Not knowing how the fuel rig would have worked.
Well, he would have been. There wouldn't have been the pressure on the stop like there was under the safety car. It would have been more. Yeah, it comes down to a bunch of ifs. But I think it would have been a more, well, they were having issues with their, you know, their lights. So it may have come to pass either way.
And let's not forget, this intentional crash was on lap 14. We still had a lot of laps to go. Anything could have happened. This wasn't a guaranteed win for Fernando by any stretch of the imagination.
Well,
it was a gamble.
Or whatever it was, you know, that race was Massa's to win, not Alonso's. Till Mr. Piquet lost his car and character. Simple as that.
So maybe Massa should sue Piquet.
And then Piquet should sue somebody else. So it'll be like, lawyers are going to be very busy.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be great. Okay, let's move on to more happier things. That would be the two-legged Rubinho in Italia. Steve, your thoughts on the race? I know I missed you guys' outstanding race coverage podcast because I was on the road in the vintage cars, having lots of fun with no intentional crashing.
Yeah. Fun to see Rubens win another race. Phenomenal job by Braun as a whole to kind of steal that race from everybody else by sneaking in with the one-stop strategy and being able to leapfrog everybody in the pits and being able to keep sufficient pace to prevent the likes of Lewis Hamilton from running away with this particular race. I'm really sad that the Red Bulls did not have a better showing. We'd like to see, you know, I personally want to see it go down to the last race of the year, unlike some others that we have on the show. But just a phenomenal job by Braun to pull this off. And then now we've got a two-horse race in Rubens and Jens for the Drivers' Championship. You know, Jens is going to have to pick up his pace. Otherwise, his teammate's going to win, because I know that Braun, since they're so far ahead in the team championship, don't care which one wins.
Exactly. And when you're going to have a slump during the season, you certainly want it where it happened to Braun, where maybe Red Bull was looking better, but now as the pendulum swings...
Well, if you look at Renault's second championship season, it was about the same period of time that Renault kind of went, before they kind of stepped back up and ran away.
Exactly.
And completed their championship run.
Exactly. And I thought Braun did an outstanding job, that they had the speed. The weather was perfect. They managed the tires very, very well. And
I think the weather turned out to be good luck for them, because if this had been a wet race, I think that the finish is completely different.
Absolutely. And, of course, the bad luck again, Mark Webber, who's had a lifetime of bad luck out in the first lap. I was just astonished.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those really sad ones. But again, Red Bull put themselves in that position by qualifying so far back in the field. You know, if they'd run their quali with, you know, another 10 kilograms less fuel, they probably could have been ahead another maybe two positions, maybe been even with the bronze instead of a row behind him, and could have stayed out of some of that traffic in the early laps.
Absolutely outstanding race, and a very important one for Braun. I thought that this almost clinches the championship for Jenson Button. Four more races to go. If they can keep this up, it's done.
Yeah, it comes down to, as we've seen in many recent seasons, in that if both cars finish, it's probably Jensen's championship. If Jenson has a DNF, then he's going to have to really hope that Rubinho doesn't score well.
Of course, and BMW
looking a little better this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, but not, you know, still kind of half there. Glad to see that they've managed to find a buyer for the Sauber team so that they'll be back in Formula
Absolutely.
One next year.
Absolutely. I was really excited to see that CAD back investments.
Yeah, and not a Middle Eastern investment group for a change.
A little bit of everything. Yeah, kind of call it the global investment group.
Well, they're primarily Swiss, though, aren't they?
I'm not sure. I'm sure NASA's
CADBAC is not Middle Eastern.
No, I thought when I read
it's Swiss based, mostly Middle Eastern money. That's what I've read.
I think it's Middle East mostly, and then some European investments as well.
Yeah, I mean, GrandPrix.com was suggesting that CADBAC could be for Qatar, Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, Kuwait money.
Okay. That's where all the money.
So you're probably right. Yeah. I saw Swiss firm thing.
Yeah, Swiss based equity firm. It may have some European money too, but money knows no nationality.
No,
money and love exactly. knows.
But that's good news. And of course, there's talk about allowing 14 teams because you know they didn't sign the Concorde Agreement. They're in the waiting list, and of course, Lotus is in. And I know NASCAR is happy about that.
So instead of British Racing Green, we're going to have Malaysian Racing Green. Voila.
Well, they could go with the John Player Special Black and Gold Lotus.
That will be one thing interesting to see next season is the variety of livery that we end up with so many teams.
Exactly. And I will say once again, Renault will be back. Hopefully it's going to be blue.
Hopefully as Renault.
Quickly back to Italy. McLaren's number two, Heikki Kovalainen, blamed Bridgestone prime tires for his failure to finish higher than sixth. Some people say if he was machismo, he could have won this race. Started fourth and had curves.
Well, he would never have been able to get past his teammate.
If he was machismo, he would have won Monza last year.
In the rain.
Yeah, and also the British Grand Prix last year.
I agree. And he's failing to come up with some good, impressive performances here to save his butt.
Yeah, right now I think his best option, you know, he had a big crash in Spain last year when the car went into the thing.
An unintentional crash.
Yeah, he says, so, you know, he can come out and say, you know, Ron Dennis told me to do that.
That's what I think.
Only if he gets fired.
Yeah. That could be a good idea.
Yeah.
This could be the trend.
Yeah, exactly.
Did it bring out a safety car that helped Lewis's position?
Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens. But now that you have Nico Hülkenberg's waiting to jump in to Formula One, and you got the Romain Grosjean,
Heike's the kind of driver who can easily fall into one of the new team slots.
Yeah,
I'm
but
sure.
A lot of these guys, you know, when you've raced with Renault and McLaren, the last thing you want to do is go take a step backward.
Well, ultimately, career-wise, no. But if you want to drive in Formula One, you take the seats that are available.
That's true.
Look at what Giancarlo Fisichella did to stay in Formula One.
Giancarlo is doing fine.
Yeah, but he got a lucky break.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Mazza doesn't get hit in the head by a spring. He's not driving for Ferrari.
See, Heike is not even like a DC. You know, DC was a second fiddle to whoever was driving Hakkinen or Raikkonen, but was good enough for a couple of pole positions, couple of wins. You can't even count on
Heike hasn't been very consistent. I'm really surprised.
And
because
part of his problem is who the teammate is, you know.
Yeah,
so.
That doesn't help you any.
Yeah.
I agree. So I think he'll be out of McLaren next year, and it looks like Rosberg will be going over there.
Well, now they're talking about in the media that Rosberg might go to Braun. Who knows what's going to happen?
Of course, because the Mercedes 70% takeover of Braun. Yeah. A lot of things happening. Real quickly, back to Italy. The last lap crash of Lewis Hamilton, I found that very bizarre.
Why? Hecky did not win, so why was it bizarre?
We're going to be wondering now.
Correlated.
I mean, don't you think it was a little strange the way the crash was? Last lap, he could have been on the podium. That's unlike Lewis Hamilton.
Well, very true, but I mean, same thing happened to Kimi Raikkonen in Canada some years ago when he went wide off and Michael Schumacher slipped by. These things happen.
Yeah, he was pushing. He was trying to catch Jensen Button, you know, you push it until the last lap, and his tires had gone off just enough that that back end kicked out on him.
And if he was leading the championship, this crash would not have happened.
Yeah,
that's true. Montezemolo at the Frankfurt Motor Show talking about attendance down in Formula One, 16% in Monza, which is shocking because, but on the other hand, it's not shocking. We're talking $600 for grandstand seats over there.
Yeah, for bottom end grandstand seats.
Bernie has got the feel for the little people. This is out of control. Montezemolo has got to push for cheaper tickets.
Talking of cheaper tickets, Montreal is back.
Is it confirmed?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because if it is, I'm going.
Are you going?
Yep.
Are you ready to dish out $500 for race and $300 per night for Motel 6?
No, a friend of mine,
or whatever they call it there.
A friend of mine who listens to F1Weekly.com has a connection through his family, one of the FIA officials who runs the Canadian doohickey. I'm not good divulging any names, but we'll see what happens.
I believe we have a couple of fans who told us a couple of years back that if we ever happen to go to the Canadian Grand Prix, to look them up because they could help us get better prices.
Not only that, but I'm already looking into sponsorship where I am, you know, compensated to attend, to give out speeches, descriptive narrative, a color man. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, basically to replace Flavio?
Exactly.
Wow.
Just be pretty.
So, yeah.
Can I be your Pat Simmons?
You could be my Pat Simmons.
You know, I can fake a British accent pretty well.
Excellent. Keep up the good work, Nasser. And we're both about the same age. So we'll do just fine, Nass.
And we're showing it, too.
Yeah, exactly. And like Steven said, CADBAC Investments has purchased BMW. And I'm really happy about that. That saves a lot of jobs. We'll be saving all those Hinwil jobs. I'm not sure what the team's going to be called. Very well could be called CADBAC Sauber. And, of course, having had a deal with Ferrari in the past, Mr. Sauber, always an impeccable businessman, will probably put together another Ferrari engine deal.
They can call it, you know, Cadbury Swiss instead of Cadbury Schweppes.
Keep up the good work. I'm glad some people are keeping a sense of humor during these dark times.
It's called open mind, Mr. Fab.
Okay, that's wonderful. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with another outstanding Motorsports Mondial this week. And of course, stay tuned for the repeat of the Nico Hülkenberg interview with Nasser Hamid, of course. And this is in dedication to his championship in the GP2 series. Keep up the good work, Nico. We'll be back after this brief message.
Are you between the ages of 8 and 80 and want to experience the thrill of wheel-to-wheel racing for yourself? Do you want a hobby that you, your family, or group of friends can share? The Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series, sponsored in part by Marin Karting, is the fast-growing Northern California series of the Rotex Max Challenge USA and can lead to an FIA-approved world championship. Rotex answers your dream of racing. With a reliable engine that's sealed, keeps carts on the same level playing field, your operating costs low, your fun level high, and your skill determining your success. Be your own number one driver as part of the Jim Russell Northern California Rotex Challenge Series. Race on to norcalrotex.com to learn more and see marincarting.com for Rotex engines, parts, and accessories.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the man himself, Nasser Hamid.
Money Greetings and racing regards from sunny California. Headlines from Sunday are Barrichello, pronto in the Parco. Little Nico makes history, Chase is on, and so is Monty. That would be Juan Pablo Montoya if you are new to the show. We shall start with the end of the European leg at Monza, located in a royal park near Milano. And I'm still surprised, Mr. Rogers, with all your passion for Europe and Formula One. You have never been to the Temple of Speed or the Cathedral of Speed, that is Monza. When will that change?
When that big bonus check comes from all those sponsors. You know the budget here is very, very tight. As you saw when you expected your Christmas bonus last year.
From 2006?
Exactly.
Thank you. The track has hosted Italian Grand Prix every year since 1950, except 1980, when Imola took the honors. And it always gives me a giggle here. One time Italian Grand Prix was held there at Imola. Nelson Piquet Sr. took the victory.
I wonder if he cheated.
No, he was a machismo driver, the senior, that is. This year, another Brazilian took the victory, his second in three races. Barrichello also won the Italian Grand Prix in 2002 and 2004 as a Ferrari driver. And I'm going to check these 2 years what happened to Michael. Obviously, something must have happened to him for Barrichello to win ahead of him. He is now 14 points behind teammate Bouton, who has not won a race since Turkish Grand Prix in May. If Barrichello can pull it off as the new world champion, he will be the first Brazilian to become world champion since Ayrton Senna in 1991. And that will be very good for Brazilian motor racing fans.
That would be completely and utterly out of control.
It will be quite a day, you know, first Brazilian champion.
Especially for, you know, being the old man from the sea.
Sea in Sao Paulo, huh? Interestingly, he still resides in Sao Paulo and commutes. But it's not like he's traveling coach on Varig.
He's not in the Pueblo on the outskirts.
Yeah, exactly. Bouton, feeling like he won the race, he was really happy and dandy. This was his first podium since Istanbul was Constantinople. And like Mr. Fopp said, if he's not jinxed by any mechanical issues in the remaining four races, we should see first time back-to-back English world champions. And him, and of course referring to the previous English world champion, Lewis Hamilton, they bring very international flavor to the grid. One has Geisha doll with Japanese mother and Argentine Papito, while the other is entertaining the racing fans with his pussycat doll, Papito from Philippines and mother from Russia. And there was some posting on the forum that he has
split,
but he's saying no. So what? Anybody knows what the deal is?
I don't know.
I don't want to see a heartbroken Lewis Hamilton.
Well,
crashing out of Monza was bad enough.
Right to the FIA. Yes. That's what everybody else does now.
And Max will respond personally.
Exactly.
Okay. Kimi, a man of his own world, a world of Finlandia, that is. The Espoo Enigma was on the podium for the fourth race in a row. He's looking racy these days.
Exactly. That long hair and that hat with the brim nice and flat.
And the big, you know, top.
Yeah. He's pretty bizarre.
Yeah, he's looking good to stay in Formula One next season. Only question is where. I just say too bad Lord Heskett and Eddie Jordan are no longer F1 team owners. He would really fit in well with them.
Probably.
Can you imagine if he was with,
James Hunt?
Lord Heskett team. Somebody asked him a question. He's like, all wasted. What?
Yeah.
Trying to race? Okay. Somebody lowered him in the car. But anyway, Sutil, Adrian Sutil, the music man, will hum along Force India in 2010. Very impressive front row qualifying effort at Monza. Sure bet to finish the race if running behind, but not in front of Kimi Raikkonen.
And you know what? I forgot to mention in the opening of the show, in the first section, the outstanding job that Vitantonio Liuzzi did.
Absolutely.
For coming out of the box, qualifying seventh, doing a great job. I was very impressed, and I'm sure BJ Malia probably was going, wow, we should have put him in the car a long time ago.
Yeah. Alonso, again in the limelight and points, most likely will be wearing red next season. Massa will have to face a formidable teammate for the third time since he joined Ferrari as a race driver in 2006. It's pretty impressive. You know, Massa, Did win a couple of races while Schumacher was a teammate, and very convincingly, like Turkey and
I remember.
Also Brazil, 2006. And then he had Kimi Raikkonen. And now yeah,
for, 1 point short of winning the championship.
Yeah. And, you know, for, I mean, last year he totally overpowered Kimi Raikkonen, which I predicted would never happen, but hey, what do I know? And this year, if he comes back, he probably will have to face Massa, so expect some CR. Which way it will go, I don't know.
CR, those were my initials, NASA.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Gee, I never thought about that. No wonder you like cage rattling so much. Okay, Kovalainen. Best thing for him, as we already discussed, extra teams and open seats for next year. Heidfeld, misery loves company, same as Kovalainen. He is some guy that if they don't have these extra teams, he will be, you know, on the side of Nürburgring or Monza.
Well,
will work for free.
So Kovalainen and Heidfeld at Lotus next year?
Very possible.
Well, there's even talk of DC being at Lotus next year because, you know, the old man of the sea is back, is in vogue.
Yeah. I think DC is serious enough where he can help a team like USF1.
Well, you can't beat experience for car development, and when you're a new team.
And he may not be Schumacher or Senna, but he's serious enough to take him seriously. You know, some people, you know, I wouldn't be interested in. There are quite a few. And not that they are bad people. It's just, you know, they've had what they wanted, and the hunger is not there, you know. So better to go with somebody who wants the job and wants to do a good job.
Absolutely.
Sebastian Vettel spotted and signed on by Red Bull while in diapers. Championship is waiting in the wings for the youngest pole and Grand Prix winner in the near future. And you know, some years ago I was reading an interview with Mr. Kimi Raikkonen when he was wearing silver. And he said, my goal is still to be the youngest world champion. And time flies, you know, and here we are talking about Sebastian Vettel becoming world champion. He has the talent, he has the goods, no question about it. But you know what? 3 years down the road, he may still be looking for the champion.
Absolutely. We know how these things are.
Yeah, it's just, if you're not in the right. Formula One to me, and I'm now more and more convinced, not all drivers are the same in terms of talent and desire, but the top maybe five drivers are, whoever has the best package is going to win the championship in more races. So we'll see. And now we move on to other Monza moments from Sunday. GP2 feature race winner was Guido Vandergaarde, Dutch driver passing pole sitter Vitaly Petrov to win the rain-delayed race, third win of the season for the iSport driver. Lucas Di Grassi was third while Nico Hülkenberg was sixth. Sprint race, Luis Razia. Now here is another example, Luis Razia. I don't know much about this kid, and you know, when we talk about GP2, his name hardly ever comes up. Yesterday I was looking at his you know, just website and stuff like that. Very impressive career, a lot of victories in South America, very, very good driver. So it's just a matter of one of these days, and he's going to burst upon the scene. So Luis Razia was the winner, with fellow Brazilian Lucas Di Grassi again on the podium in second. Hülkenberg was the big winner as his third place finish gave him the title, first GP2 driver to win the championship before the final race weekend. Hülkenberg also equaled the feats of Nico Rosberg and Lewis Hamilton, who both won the official F1 feeder series in their rookie seasons. And it's looking more and more likely that he will land at Williams. Williams is trying to get out of the Toyota contract. They were trying to go to with Renault engine, but now they don't know if they will have a Renault engine. But this is one kid, you know. If Toyota does not provide engine to Williams, Nakajima is toast. But if they provide, you want to say something, Mr.
I'm just thinking that if Williams drops the Toyota contract and Nakajima needs a ride, they'll probably act truly and drop him into that seat.
Yeah, I think Toyota will take either him or there's another Japanese driver they are helping through their driver development program, Kamui Kobayashi.
Yeah, they were talking about him possibly taking Trulli's place next year too.
But I am convinced, and time may prove me wrong, but I'm convinced that whoever is Nico Hülkenberg's teammate for the next two seasons, he's toast.
CR.
Yeah.
he's not going to have a good time.
Yeah, that's how it goes. And the thing is, you know, even if your car is not performing, which William has not really won a lot of races in the last, or any races in the last couple of years, but if you can outdistance yourself from your teammate by half a second, then...
What if Heikki Kovalainen winds up to be a teammate?
What is he going to do? He's the guy who beat him in the GP2 championship. No, I'm sorry, that was Nico Rosberg. But this kid is, I think, is a much better driver than Nico Rosberg. That's what I think. Lacking in experience, obviously, but Nico is very good. Okay, now we come to another series that came to an end at Monza, Formula BMW Europe, more Brazilian celebration as surprise of the year. And this kid has really, really impressed me very much. I came out of nowhere. 17-year-old, and he could be my cousin, 17-year-old Felipe Nasr, his name is spelled N-A-S-R, won the second race of the season to win the championship in his first full year of motor racing. Rookie of the Year honors went to young Dutch driver Robin Freins. And Felipe Nasr, you know, last year, in this, Steve, is a perfect example of, you know, how you see something and if they keep the trend going up the series, they will do very well. Last year in final Brazilian Grand Prix, there was the Formula BMW America support race. He was in that. They have two races. He was in, I think, on the podium in one of them. That was his first motor racing weekend. Goes to Formula BMW Europe as a rookie, first race pole position. So he's done very well, and I would hate to see this kid make a big jump and go to a F3 Euro Series, maybe spend another season in Formula BMW, totally clean the house, or go to Formula Renault, or at most maybe do a regional like British Europe, British F3, not European F3. But this is, you know, that's how
what
I...
What about going to Formula 2? Would that be too big?
No, for him, he probably might be able to pull it out. But, you know, if you have the talent, then you just go step by step.
Just go to the next is, level.
Yeah, because nothing, the more you win, the more you are noticed. Just ask Janica Patrick.
Look how often you get mentioned on Motorsports Mondial if you're winning.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now we go from Parco Monza to Portimão in Portugal. And British F3 at the beautiful Algarve circuit. Both races were won by rising star of French racing, Jules Bianchi. And this is another young kid who really has not done a lot of karting, but as soon as he came into motor racing, he started winning. And this year, he's also leading the F3 Euro Series, and managed by Nicolas Taud, driving for ART team. And this was his second year in F3 Euro Series. Fairly positive he will go to GP2 and then hopefully in Formula 1. And I know his manager, Mr. Olivier Mayenhu, at least is our assistant manager. So hopefully we'll have contact with the F1 driver. So future is pretty bright for F1 Weekly. Not sure about you and me personally, but you know, if F1 Weekly succeeds, we're happy.
We're just little people in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, exactly. Esteban Gutierrez, another super awesome talent who I think jumped the gun. He went from Formula BMW straight into F3 Euro Series, which I knew was going to be too much of a... Too big of a leap. But he is now, you know, he finished second in race one, which is very impressive. But even in the main F3 Euro Series now, his name is beginning to appear in the top five qualifying, and he's racing with the big boys now.
Just taking him most of the season to get used to the car.
Yeah, so which tells me that if he had stayed in, if he had gone to a British F3 or a German F3, he probably would be in the top two, if not in the top, definitely in the top three in the championship. So a lot of talent coming from all over the world. Big winner of the weekend, here's another kid who's doing very good. Big winner of the weekend was Wonder from Down Under, Daniel Ricciardo. He was third in the first race, and his seventh place finish in the second race sealed the championship for him. Congratulations, mate. We would like to know from him if after race party was Foster's or Victoria Bitter. What do you prefer?
Me? I prefer...
Stella?
I've been moving away from Stella. I'm going with Lef Blonde. But that's just me.
Not Gitane Blonde?
That's on weekends only.
Okay, good. And talking of Australia, next we have LNH 500 at Phillip Island. And I've never been there, but I have seen a documentary on one of these, you know, racing shows. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful racing facility. Have you ever seen? You're a fan of Australian V8.
I've seen a race there, and it is a really nice track.
Very, very nice location.
There are a lot of nice tracks on that Australian circuit.
Yeah, but I think this is top of the pops. Garth Tender and Will Davison pulled a Sam Hornish on Craig Lowndes and Jamie Wincup to win the race on the last lap. So good for them, and our congratulations to them. And their big race, the Bathurst 1000, should be happening anytime now. Do you watch that? Do you follow that?
No, I haven't been able to watch it. They were running stuff off their website for a while, but I haven't had time to hunt it down.
I remember some years ago, like in December or somewhere around, Speed TV was showing recap of Australian V8 series. Do they still do that now?
I don't know. Last season, the season before last, they were running repeats or running stuff like Super V8s, WTCC, and some
WTCC? Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a couple of years ago. I'm afraid.
They were running them like in the middle of the day.
Oh, of course.
But this past year, I never saw them come up.
No.
I had them set up flags so that they would, you know, tell me a week in advance that they were coming. Shit, nothing.
No, those were taken over by Living a Little Life, Pinks, Wrecked.
Well, it's Jacked. Jacked,
and I Want Your Mama.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. He's not satisfied with his own mama?
Reality television has taken over Speed TV.
And that's starring Nelson Piquet Jr.
That and Barrett Jackson auctions. It's like it's more interesting, I guess, for people to watch an auction than it is to watch racing.
Okay. Now we cut to the chase. Clark Rogers' favorite series.
Le NASCAR.
The regular season is over for the boys of summer, spring, winter, autumn, because there is
a big amount.
Yeah, exactly. Their final race before the chase starts took place at Richmond, Virginia, where local driver Denny Hamlin in FedEx-sponsored Toyota delivered the win for Coach Gibbs. Juan Pablo Montoya, affectionately known as Monty here, was 19th in the race, but is part of the 12-man chase. Media is praising Montoya as the first non-American to make it to the chase. With all the hot dogs he's eating, I think that's an insult to Oscar Mayer. Monty has beaten some top dogs to get in the chase, names like Dale E. Jr., Matt Kenseth, Kevin Harvick, and Kyle Busch. Who do you think is? I know you're going to be glued to the TV for the last 10 races.
I know that, you know, beating Dale E. into the chase isn't a really big feat, since Dale E. hasn't been there since its inception, except for maybe the first year.
Yeah, but Kevin Harvick, Kyle Busch
have been there a couple of years in a row. So yeah. Good for him to get up there.
And the 12 lucky dogs. Are you ready for the? Can we maybe have a drum roll?
I'll be wearing my Greg Biffle hat.
Thank you, sir. Mark Martin, Tony Stewart, Jimmy Johnson going for 4 in a row. Denny Hamlin, Casey Kane, no relation to Casey Kasem. Jeff Gordon, Kurt Busch, Brian Vickers, Carl Edwards, Monty, Ryan Newman, and Clark Rogers' eternal favorite NASCAR driver, Greg Biffle.
Do they all go back to zero, or do they keep all their points?
No, they have a very scientific, they get in touch with.
I think you have, they
IBM
square root, and then you get the hypotenuse.
No, they get in touch with IBM and NASA, and they figure out everybody starts with like 2,500 points, and some points for victory, some points for pole. So based on their, Zini Brini, ENIAC thing, Mark Martin starts the chase in the lead. But good for them.
See, another old guy, you know, tearing up his series.
I'm telling you, this year it's the old men of the sea.
Yeah. Okay, we end Motorsports Mondial with some musical Mondial, courtesy of Fausto Papetti and his orchestra from Italy. Thank you for listening, and ciao, ciao, till next week.
Another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with forum updates. We have time for an email. And of course, I want to remind everybody to listen to the Nico Hulkenberg repeat interview that's in dedication to his GP2 championship. Keep up the good work, Nico. So we'll be back in 60 seconds.
Formel 1, das Kernstück des Motorsports. Sie hören F1 Weekly. Grüße aus Kalifornien.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now let's go right to the Nico Hülkenberg interview. Nasser, introduce this future F1 star.
Star and champion, I think. This conversation was with Nico Hülkenberg, and I must add that this conversation took place last year at Mugello during the F3 Euro Series event in which he was taking part, actually won the race, which was my first race to attend an F3 Series competition, and it was made possible through our listener, Mr. Mo Mansour, because he took me there, so my thanks to him, and also Lars Kaufmann of Josef Kaufmann Racing. He called Nico and said, hey, this guy wants to talk to you, so my thanks to both gentlemen, and also, of course, to Nico Hülkenberg. And Nico is a serious, serious racing talent. He is on his way to big time in Formula One. We wish him all the best. He won the Formula BMW Championship with Josef Kaufmann Racing. Well, actually, it was the Formula BMW Germany in his rookie year. And Lars tells me that every time he has gone to jumped into a car racing, from the first time to every series he has stepped up, the first race has been on pole position. Formula 3, Formula 3 Euro Series, and what really blew me away is last year, he took part for the first time in GP2 Asia. It's the same car and same competition, and first race he was on pole position. I said, oh, wow. And this year he has won the championship again in his rookie year against formidable competition. Vitaly Petrov, Romain Grosjean was there. When Grosjean left the series to go to Formula 1, Hülkenberg was still leading. Pastor Maldonado, Karan Chando, and Lucas Di Grassi. So he has raced against some very good competition, and now, you know, we'll see whether he goes to Williams or... And he's in very good hands, Mr. Willy Weber, who sure knows how to make a buck and take care of racing business as it should be. And I'll tell you, my favorite Nico Hülkenberg race is the race when he took part for Germany in A1GP competition, completely destroyed the competition, and the race he had in Malaysia. And when it rains in Malaysia, it buckets in Balti. This kid, I even mentioned this to him, it was like he was on dry tarmac and everybody also in the rain. So the kid is very good in the dry, in the wet, fast, slow corners, whatever, and we would love to see him in Formula 1 and wish him all the best. Danke schön.
Okay, I'm here with one of my favorite young drivers, Mr. Nico Hülkenberg, and we are in Mugello. Nico, congratulations on winning the race one. How are you today, sir?
Not bad. After win, I think everybody is happy and I'm feeling fine, and it's a good feeling to win this race today.
You won your first championship in karting at the age of 13. Please tell us, how long were you in karting and your best karting memories?
I've done karting for like 10 years. Started when I was 7, stopped when I was 18, and moved to Formula cars. But memories, I have a lot of good memories because we were able to win a lot of championships. And I won the Italian championship in the junior class. Good memories from that. I have a lot of nice memories because that was a nice time. I spent a lot of time in Italy in my youth, and I can't tell you what is my favorite memory.
Do you speak Italian also?
I did speak some words, but now I've lost some, yeah.
Okay. What is the most important thing you learn in karting that helps you in motor racing?
I think really the racing. It teaches you really how you race, because the races are very hard, and the races are very aggressive and really need to fight a lot. And even, you know, sometimes they touch each other, and karting just teach you a lot about racing, I guess.
Who are some of the karters you raced against, and who do you respect as good racers?
In karting, I raced against a lot of people, like experienced, very old men in karting, is like Fauré or Sauro Cesetti, and very experienced drivers who did like 20, 25 years of karting, which were very experienced. And to race against them was really helpful and teach me a lot.
And among the drivers who are young like you and who have also moved into single-seaters, who were the karters who impressed you?
Ooh, I did a lot of fights with Sebastian Buemi in juniors, and then not so much in Formula A, but in karting I had a lot of fights with Plowman, Buemi, Oaks, and all these drivers also moved on to motorsport, and I still see them now here on the track.
You know, you mentioned Sebastian Buemi. Lars laughed and said to me, make sure you ask Hülkenberg about his best friend. And I said, who's his best friend? He says, Buemi. Is that true?
Who said it?
Lars Kaufman.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes, yeah. No, I think I like Buemi. He's a nice guy, and we can have some hard fight on track, but, you know, after we can speak normally to each other. So I think I respect him, and I know his talents. He's very quick, and I just kind of like him, yeah.
2005 was your first year in motor racing, and what a year it was. You won the BMW Championship, Formula BMW Germany, 8 wins, 9 poles, and 14 podium finishes. What was the secret to your success in your rookie season?
A good team, I guess. I really learned a lot from the team of Josef Kaufmann and his son, because they really gave me all their experience and gave me a lot of hints and tips to have a better season. And I think we had a very, very good team, and we worked very well together. And often I went to the team, stayed at their house, slept together with them or in the house, and we spent a lot of time together. And I think that was really the key of the success in that year.
Okay, now somebody like me who has never driven a race car, explain to me, you have the speed and you learn a lot of things from people like Kaufmann's. What are the things a driver can learn apart from the speed from a team owner or people around him?
Well, a lot of things. Just if you start racing, you know, especially racing in Formula cars, anything is new. You don't know anything about braking, downshifting. You got to learn anything from the very peak. And Josef is very experienced also, because he's driven himself in his younger days. And he just was able to give me a lot of tips and made me learning quicker.
Very good. You also won the 2005 Formula BMW World Finals in Bahrain, at least on the track. Tell us why you were given the 10-second penalty.
Because there was an accident happened in the back of the field when I did the restart. And the stewards decided that it was my mistake why that accident happened, so they penalized me with a 10 seconds penalty.
Do you think the penalty was fair, and how disappointed were you as it took away an opportunity to drive a Formula One car?
For sure, very disappointed.
Be honest with me, did you cry?
Yeah, I did. For sure. Yeah, because I was very young, and it was really, really frustrating, because I spoke already to Tyson, and he said, okay, Formula One test, you come along, we make a seat. And then half an hour later, I was with the stewards, and they told me, you're penalized, you're only P3, and I was like, oh, shit, for sure. But it's hard to say, you know, the penalization on one side is correct, on the other side, not. But it's a difficult decision, but okay, I accept it.
Okay. In 2006, you moved up to German Formula 3 and started the first two races from pole position at Oschersleben. What are the main differences between Formula BMW and German Formula 3 car, and does it require different techniques of driving?
Cars are different because it's Formula 3 is more powerful. There's a lot more aerodynamic working also in slow speed corners than in BMW. In BMW you have a lot of mechanical grip. I think it's a very good car to start your racing career, because it teaches you a lot about motorsport, about Formula cars. Yeah, that's it.
2007, and this is where I really got interested in your career. You won your very first race in A1 GP competition and never looked back. And like I said to you earlier, the race I remember was the race at Sepang in the rain. And same year you won the Zandvoort Masters of Formula 3 at Zolder. What makes you so damn good in the rain? And that you are, I know.
I don't know if I'm so good. I think at that day we had a very good. I made a very good setup together with my engineer. We just took the right decision, because it was in Malaysia, and you never know, is it gonna rain and drying 10 minutes later or not. But we decided in the wrong direction, in the right direction, and took a rain setup. And I don't know about the other people, but I think also part of it is just that I really like to drive in the wet, because when I started karting, we did a lot of karting and running in Holland. And in the mini class in Holland, they don't have rain tires, so we had slick tires. And when it was raining, we kept slicks on, and it was very slippery. And it, you know, maybe I got the feeling for rain there.
Very good. It was an incredible performance. What stage in your career did Herr Willy Weber came into the scene?
That was the end of 2006. We got in touch because he asked me to do a test in his A1 Team Germany in Silverstone before the season. And yeah, that's how we got in touch.
How is he to deal with on a personal basis?
Willy is a really, really nice guy. I enjoy working with him. He has a lot of understanding of motorsport, and he really knows how this business works. And it's good to have a guy like Willy on the side, and he supports me really a lot.
Now, he has another German driver who retired a few years ago. Has that guy ever invited you over to his house for some, you know, some Hungarian goulash or some Beck's beer?
No, not yet.
Do you expect him to?
No, I don't.
Michael Schumacher gave you the award when you won the Team Germany won the championship. Have you had a chance to talk to him, like one-on-one?
Yeah, sure. But I knew him even from before. I've talked to him before. But even on that evening, we spoke quite a few sentences, and I think Michael is also a nice guy.
Have you ever asked him for some driving tips?
No.
Okay. You are now a test driver for Williams. How do you find the atmosphere in an all-guard Formula One team?
Very, very, very nice, to be honest. F1 is not easy because the team is very big. There are like 60, 70 people on the test team. Mm-hmm. And first it's difficult to get in touch with everybody and to remember their name on when you return back on track the next day. But I think, they received me, or how do you call it, when I went there, they were very a warm welcome from their side, and I really feel like comfortable and at home with them.
Patrick Head has a reputation for being very tough on his drivers, and this can be verified from Alex Zanardi and Heinz Edelfrenzen, especially when it comes to driver feedback. What is your experience in dealing with him so far?
When I met him first, it was very very relaxed and very good. We had a good conversation, and I thought he was a nice guy.
Now, Lars Kaufmann, your team owner's son, told me that you have two interests, which, I mean, your interest in motor racing is matched only by your interest in girls. So my question is, who is cuter, Danica Patrick or Susie Stoddard?
To be honest, I've never seen Danica Patrick in real life, so only on pictures, so I don't know really, but Susie is good looking, for sure.
Okay. Good. Looking ahead, what is the plan for 2009?
That's really depending on this year, you know, how everything goes and what options we got at the end of the year. But the performance of this year will make the decision for next year, and you know which option I get, maybe or GP2 or maybe something else. I don't know, but I think GP2 is a very possible or high chance to do that.
You are knocking on Formula One's door. Let me ask you a question. As a very talented young driver with a tremendous track record, would you like to be racing in Formula One when you get to Formula One, or would you be open to like doing more testing for a team, a top line team? And Williams is a top line team, I would say, but just not having the success McLaren or Ferrari are having. What is your take on how you enter Formula One?
Sure, I want to race at one point, but I also give myself the time to prepare for Formula One, because when you move into Formula One, you really got to be ready for it. If you go there and the others beat you and you're last all the time, it's, you know, it's no good advertising for yourself. So I wait and prepare myself in Euro Series, GP2, or whatever is necessary. And when I feel I'm ready for it, then I will try to get a Formula One drive.
I was listening to an interview from Robert Kubica recently, and he said that winning is more than 50% thinking mentality. How much important is the positive attitude in having a successful racing career?
I think very, very important. He's right, because a race can be decided by mentally, you know. You need to be mentally very strong, and not only if you have somebody behind you and you're not allowed to make mistakes, but also otherwise you need to be very positive. You need to deal with your team with, I don't know, 50 different types of character, and yeah, just mentally it's very, very important to be strong and to be always in a good mood and to be just happy with what you're doing.
Can you tell us personally about yourself? What part of, you're from Emmerich, right, in Germany? Where is that town located, and what kind of music you like? Just a little personal things on that you would like the world to know about you.
Emmerich is close to Düsseldorf or Cologne, and it's very close to the Dutch border, actually, just 2-3 kilometers. It's not too big. It's like 30,000-40,000 people. It's very like green and a lot of fields with cows. It's not so exciting. Otherwise, I listen to pretty much every music, but also favorites a bit, like dance trance or house music and R&B. And otherwise, if I'm not racing, I like to do sports and also just to chill out with friends or go to the cinema and do some nice stuff.
Okay. We do this podcast from California. Have you been to the U.S., and do you follow any American racing series?
I've never been to USA. I'm following if I have time and it's on TV, I look sometimes the IIL or Chemcar, yeah.
Okay. Any interest in Lynn Eskar?
Not really, to be honest.
Good. We like you even more now. Final question, request a message for listeners of F1 Weekly. And we have listeners in Germany also, so if you could say a few words in Deutsches language, we will appreciate.
What do you want to know then in German? What should I say?
Anything you want to say to Deutschen folks.
To Deutschen fans, yeah. Freut mich, dass ihr das hier angehört habt. Hab das Interview gerne durchgeführt und vielleicht sehen wir uns wieder. Ich werde immer Gas geben und mein Bestes tun. Ciao.
And last question, and also a request. When you get to Formula One, will you give F1 Weekly another set of 15 minutes, please?
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you very much.
Nico, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. And now let's go right to the wrap-up. Steve has the forum updates.
Forum updates. Thank you, yay, for getting us the forum updates. First off, apologies for no forum updates in for 2 weeks. Tricky Dicky was due to do those, but he is obviously spending too much time worrying why he is the only person who doesn't wear jeans. We have heard, though, that he's considering buying an MX-5. Koala celebrated his 50th birthday last week. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Koala. Happy birthday to you. We've had a few 50ths this year. Must have been a fine vintage. Of course, the overriding discussion is about Renault and Crashgate. Many are annoyed that it has been called something gate again. There is a lot of discussion on the forum about this and the issues related to this, such as Alonso's appearance at Ferrari. Now, Pat and Flav have been fired. The forum is alive with comment. And the prediction competition for Monza was won by lap traffic. Overall leaders are Starfleet 76, followed by Lion Bray and Yay. Remember to get your picks PM to Yay before the start of the first practice. The F1 Weekly's listeners map is starting to get populated. Check it out. There's a link on Yay's signature in the countryside thread. Few Doc Mark has visited Northern California and pictures are posted. He's in, has been to London, but we forgive him. There's a Bat Racer game currently on, and Tricky Dicky and teammate Frank Declison are cleaning up most of the races. The so-called Fabulously Dangerous team is doing appallingly badly, with F1 Weekly staff members Toby Danger Dawes and Steve Fabulous Falb showing how it should not be done. We believe that there has been some sabotage involved by the Declison team that has made our season so poor. The Tea and Biscuits thread is exploring different ways of enjoying this drink all over the world. A few new forum members text or voice chat on Skype during the races. This is useful if you want to keep up to the minute or to find out where the live feeds are. If you'd like to join in, F1Weekly.race text chat is the Skype account to look for or check in the forums. That is all for now. Keep up the good posting, everybody. And remember, don't close the tab. Click on the Yahoo ads. Thanks, Jay. Good job.
Thank you, Stephen, for another great forum update. Okay, we've got time for an email here, and it's from a new listener.
Boy. We've actually gotten a couple of those?
A new listener email? Yeah? No. We have listeners every day.
Good.
Stephen Paul.
Steve, toe the party line.
Okay, he starts with, I am a fan of F1 racing and just recently came across your podcast. It's hilarious and quite informative, the way it should be. I just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy it. The first time I played it, number 374, yes, a very new listener, I was a bit annoyed by the sound. Are you guys sitting around the kitchen table? If you had some more dense soundproofing, the show would be perfect. As it stands, it's 99.9% there, and doesn't detract from the content. Anyway, I decided not to give up after first hearing it, and I'm glad I stuck with it. Nasser's segment, it was sold me 100%. Though, not to mention, it was much more clear when he started. But the content is awesome from that guy. You guys are great. Thanks. So there you have it, and his name is New Listener. We don't know where he's from, so when you email, name and town.
Name
if
and
you wish
town.
To opine. Okay, real quickly, please check out www.openwheelrants.vox.com. That's a racing blog by one of our listeners, and we always help the listeners get their bloggers. Marin Karting is proud to organize and support the 2009 Jim Russell Northern California Rotax Series. Marin Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact Marin Karting at marinkarting.com, or you can just pick up the phone and call them at 415-898-0999. We want to mention, of course, our MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter sites. I know Nasser and Steve are tweeting every day.
During the show, even.
Yeah. I mean, we've got the tweets up, and when people tweet, we tweet back. It's pretty exciting.
Studio itself tweets every now and then.
When they tweet, we Twitter?
Yes. So, outstanding, and I would think that Flavio and Simmons is going to have a lot of time tweeting.
Exactly. They'll be tweeting their little thumbs up.
Yeah. So, there you have it. Get on board and start tweeting. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email us, and we've got a fine program to bring your product to the people of the world. So I want to thank everybody who makes this show possible. Toby Dawes, our webmaster, David Tapia, the executive producer, Steve Fault, my co-host, Nasser, the guru of Motorsports Mondial, and of course, everybody out there, good night.
Bye-bye.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.